Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Namaste, oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, broadcasting live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our host and duties, holding down the other half of our host and duties. Some call him the Lions Historian. Others call him Unc. I just simply call him my best friend because he's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, daddy-o? How's it going tonight?
How you doing, Wilfredo? You know, for me, still too early to tell.
Yeah. Right on.
But you know, but it's chugging along. But I'm going to contain myself in our initial opening and just step out the way so you can do due diligence, man.
Okay. All right. Right on.
As promised.
Right on. As we do at the beginning of every show, this is the part where Dad refers to it as due diligence, where we just like to remind you all, the listeners, of a few things that we feel makes our show special. The first thing is that we want to make sure you grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker. It can be the back of an envelope or a napkin if you got one. Just make sure the napkin is good enough to write on. We want to make sure you got something to write with. We want to make sure you don't forget anything. Who knows? You know, listening to us and our usual banter of different things, you never know what to expect on the show. You know, who knows? You might pick up something that you might want to check out and research yourself. Maybe you've got some questions or some comments you might even want to share. And you're probably asking, well, yeah, I might want to write these questions and comments, but how do I share it? And I'm glad that you're asking that. There's a couple of ways that you can engage with us here on the show. And by now, you've got that pen and pad handy. You can give us a call directly. Our phone line that's always open for you, our phone number here is 516-453-6094. Again, that's 516-453-6094. And when you're ready, press 1 on your keypad. That'll put your number in the queue. And you can go ahead and ask us any questions or comments that you may have written down. Or you can post those questions or comments in our chat room. You can engage with us in the chat room directly on Blog Talk Radio site. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX. With your free Blog Talk Radio account or profile, you can engage with us in the chat room, which is usually located at the bottom of today's episode on that page. And then, of course, oh, yes, we cannot forget ye old Facebook. I always call it ye old Facebook because it's like it's so automatic, man. Facebook is crazy. But, you know, we always set up event pages for our show with the links here to Blog Talk Radio. So there's a discussion tab in the event page where you can also post any questions or comments. So I'm usually checking it out. So there's no excuse. Our phone lines are always open. I'm going to say it again. The phone lines are always open. Just press 1 on the keypad. The chat room's open. Facebook's open for you as well. So as always, we hope to hear from you. And that's from your friends here at the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. So the dude did.
Right on, man.
There you go.
Yeah. Smooth, man. Smooth as glass, I tell you. It's
hey.
Fine as the hair on a baby's behind.
Hey.
My man, right on.
I just want them to just, yeah, smooth and slide right on in and hit us up.
Yeah,
you know?
Right on. Yeah, so how you doing, man? You know, we don't ask enough of you, you know, on these shows. I always wind up diving right in and, you know, taking over and talking too much, and before we know it, time's up. So how are you doing? What's up?
Well, you know, as always, you ask me, and sometimes I say, you know, well, I'm good. I'm happy. It's Monday. It's Wednesday. We're doing the show again. You know, I'm on this side of the earth, and I saw the sun this morning. You know, I put that picture up, you know, and, you know, always happy and feel blessed and all that kind of stuff. But on top of that, though, I was going through our conversations on the Facebook Messenger, right? I was looking for something. I had some thoughts in my head, and I was just looking back at our conversations, and just scrolling, man. And I'm looking at like these graphics that like you've put up for the event page on Facebook, and the graphics I've put up, and how we've used different, you know, different graphics and different pictures versus how we began. You know, we were just using that one basic one that I had put together. And just seeing all these graphics and reading these quick notes, man, I mean, it really is, you know, I'm trying to think of a different word, but it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just
yeah.
so cool to do this with you. You know, I know that I have times when I get on your nerves and, you know, vice versa. But
no, man, you know, I know I get on, you don't ever get on my nerves, man.
Cut it out.
Yeah, no,
but,
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Today, you know, today, you know, I'm feeling good, you know, again, because it's Wednesday and, you know, next week, you know, I'll be, you know, coming down there. I'll be seeing you and seeing the family.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of thing for me tonight. you know. But I mean, I'm good. You know, I've been out early. You know, like I said, you see my stuff on Facebook, man. 4:30, 5:30, I'm out there.
Out delivering, out delivering. Yeah, man. Yeah. Right on. In case folks don't know, yeah. You just ain't out there just, you know, looking to get into trouble. You out there before the sun comes up, man. Doing that hustle, man. Right on, man. Hustle, man.
You almost made me spit my water. That was funny.
Yeah, you ain't just coming in. You know, I'm
right.
Man.
Right.
That was, so I can tell that. Stories about that.
Yeah, that was the other. That was my. My madness. I'm sorry. That was my heyday or whatever, you know. You had yours, I had mine, you know.
Yeah, but you did it well. You did it a lot better than me because you made it to work. You know, I was always diving into the sick day bank, you know, like, do I have a sick day? Do I have an off day? Do I have a private day I could take? You know, go ahead, man. See, I'm tripping on
it. Man. No, it's cool. Now you got me thinking about that. But anyway,
man.
I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing good. I'm excited about this trip. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be
traveling. And your mom's coming too, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say, So next week, I'm going to be taking a road trip down to Dallas. And I'm taking my mom with me. Sue's going to be with me. So it's me and Sue, of course, and my mom's coming with us. And so, you know, it's another exciting time. This isn't our first road trip, you know, thinking about that because of tonight's show and thinking about next week. There's just so many different things, you know, and again, seeing the family and celebrating, you know, Black love and unity and family. Amen. And all these things, you know, so but I mean I'm tired.
I heard that.
You know, vacations come different, ladies and gentlemen. For those and Dad, I know you know because you're an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs out there know, you know, vacations. There aren't vacations really for entrepreneurs. That's just time that you're missing your money, and you know, so you have to be strategic and figure out how you can compensate that loss of income. You know, if you're going to take time off from your business. So, you know, but that's grown up bleep. That's that grown up stuff, you know, and that's what we got to do. So I feel good about that. I feel, you know, I feel good. I feel grown a little bit, man. So I'm feeling good about myself.
I feel grown a little bit. Yeah. All right. It only took you 50 years.
That's all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just told everybody age. Oh my God. I did it again.
Well, you're 75, so there we go. So I'm good.
Hey!
Man. I'm good.
Yeah,
got
no,
you back.
Man,
got you right.
I couldn't feel better about, you know, being 75, man.
See? Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And we look good. So, hey, there you go.
Well, we know you do. You know, I always consider it a phenomenal compliment. Anytime anybody says, "Oh, you look just like your son," or "Your son looks just like you," however they say it, doesn't matter which order. It's just such a tremendous compliment for you. But I always say the same thing to them. You know, wow, I feel good about it, but you need to check in with him to see how he feels about hearing that. What are you telling me? I look 75.
Right. What you saying?
Right.
What do you mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, so all in all then, I'm really excited about seeing you next week, seeing the crew, no question about it.
Yeah.
You know, getting on your mom's nerves, you know, that's always exciting. But she's so cool, you know, she reminds me of your Uncle Jeff so much, man. You know, she just is so cool, you know, man. You know, it's like, you know, well, to the outside world, anyway, you know, we know better. But, you know, I mean, but even when she deals with me, she's just so cool, man. I love that about her. Yeah. So, so all in all, anything you got? You want to serve up to the listening audience, to the millions?
The millions. Well, I mean, let's just, you know, get right into it. You know, we've been for the last few shows, we've been talking about our personal program.
Right.
You know, developing a personal program for a healthy well-being, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight we're going to talk about meditation. In previous shows, and again, if you haven't listened to the previous shows, ladies and gentlemen, they are saved for you. They're just waiting on you to just jump on in and listen. But in our previous shows, we've talked about prayer, we talked about reading, nutrition, most recently mentor and exercise. So tonight, you know, meditation, but I know we always like to just touch a little bit on the previous show. In the previous show, we talked about exercise, you know, because sometimes that might be something that we might miss, you know, so we want to make sure that we get those points across before we transition to the next topic. So I know you had something for exercise. So what did you have up?
Well, just what you already said, more or less a recap, but some things that weren't really covered, you know, because I kind of went off the rails and took the show with me last week. I mean, Monday. With the open mic, you know, I see that. Okay, thanks. You know, and I see Jay Pastor is not in the queue, but I see he's in the studio. I see his number. You know, and we were trying to bring him in, and you know, he was busy doing other things. But anyway, so I just wanted to highlight some of the positive aspects of exercise regarding the physical and the mental health benefits. And just touching on a few, I'm not going to, because it's like 20 each, and I'm not going to go through each one because that'll be Monday's show all over again. Regarding physical benefits of regular exercise, weight loss and weight control, you know, increased energy, improved flexibility and movement, you know, it lowers the risk of some types of cancer. And it says exercising at least 4 hours per week has been shown to lower the risk of breast cancer by 37%. I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know what 37% means, but it sounds like it really does a good job. But I was looking at this 4 hours per week, and it seems like, oh, that's not much. Well, when I go to the health club, I usually get in about maybe a half hour of effective workout. So if it's 4 hours a week, and if I'm just doing a half hour a day, so let me see if my math is right. 2 days would constitute 1 hour, 4 days would constitute 2 hours, so 8 days would constitute 4 hours. It's only 7 days in a week. So for me to hit that mark, obviously I would need to crank it up. And I'm not sure that people see 4 hours. I think people read four visits, you know. So 4 hours is a lot, you know, as far as effective exercise is concerned. It helps to lower cholesterol, increase good cholesterol, you know, and which keeps the blood flowing. And, you know, the thing about that, you know, the blood, right, usually leaves the heart rich, red and rich, you know, and loaded with all the purities not necessary to keep the body functioning. And on its journey through the body, you know, it picks up all the impurities, takes it to all the major organs, where the organs do their own job as far as, you know, working on helping stabilize the impurities that the blood is bringing to each of the organs. And along the way, you know, through the process of the purification, the blood picks up the residue. And the residue going coursing all the way through the body and returning to the heart, where it leaves red and rich, it returns to the heart sort of blue and loaded down with sludge, you know, and then the process starts again, goes through the heart cleans the blood up, and then the blood leaves, you know, and I suspect that most of us don't think about the circulatory process of the blood. I think we just kind of think, well, it's there, and if I get hurt or damaged, otherwise it spills out, but it's moving, you know, and it's functioning, and it's like the messenger through the organs. As the organs do their job, you know, the blood brings it all back to the heart. And, you know, like over time, certain things that we do that just kind of wears the body down, it's not so much what it does to the body, which it does, but it's the damage done to the heart. You know, so just something to keep in mind. It helps lower the risk of heart attacks and strokes. And I'm sure what I'm talking about, most of us already know. It helps smokers quit with a higher success rate. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, I wouldn't have thought that. But it makes sense in the overall scheme of things. And then some of the mental health benefits. Aerobic exercise, which I don't know if basketball would be something that would be considered aerobic, you know, can help improve mood. You know, and that has to do with the interactive quality that strenuous exercise does with serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. Most of these neurotransmitters are operating in the brain. And it's only, to me, it's only important to highlight this because we're talking about mental health now, you know, and when we start talking about neurotransmitters in the brain, see, that like serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. Serotonin helps concentration and mood balance, and dopamine mainly focuses on movement, and endorphins, of course, reduce pain, stress, increase pleasure, and helps effectively deal with mood swings. I think what people don't realize, you know, that there is no substance, chemical, that we can put in the body that the brain doesn't already produce. It's not like we introduce some miracle thing that the brain goes, oh, wow, I wish I had thought of this. No, what happens is, depending on what the effect we're looking for, these chemicals tamper with the wiring, so to say, and either acts to stimulate more of a certain chemical reaction or less, all depending on the effect the person's looking for. Essentially, people use drugs because we like the effect using the drug produces. The only question is, what effect are we looking for? Like, I'll take Tylenol. I'll take sinus Tylenol because I like what it does for my sinuses. I don't like what another form of the same product would do because it kind of gets me cranked up, you know, and so I found that Tylenol sinus works best. But when it comes to the other types of drugs that are used, you know, like I'm one who really believes that a person's personality pretty much matches the type of drugs they use, but it takes experimentation. You know, people who get into drug abuse are really, you know, little chemists. You know, we're always tampering with the workings. We're always looking for that perfect solution in our own inner lab. You know, we're looking to produce that continuous effect that, or that continuous desired effect that the first time use produced. I don't care whether it's drinking alcohol as a drug, you know, probably one of the most potent. So, you know, like I was drawn to alcohol because alcohol is a depressant. It lowers, you know, reactive time. But I found also in my marijuana use that, unlike most people, it was a stimulant. It cranked me up. So over time I found that I needed both of them just to try to maintain a even keel, you know. But of course, a little bit too much reefer would get me cranked, and I'd be crawling on the ceiling, and then the alcohol to bring me down had me crawling in the basement.
Yeah, so I'm crawling, like, on, you know, the
back
floor,
and
right.
Forth, yeah, trying to find that, you know, trying to find that perfect, you know, balance. And, you know, and of course there are drugs that people use to function every day. Like, you know, working, somebody told me once that those who deal in the stock exchange, you know, they're big drug users, big stimulant drug users. Many of them use crack. This person told me, I don't know, you know, who's worked there. You know, when he was telling me that, he was telling me that while he was in treatment, you know. So I don't know what happened to him afterwards. But, you know, he said most of them function fine. They do what they do to get them through the day. And then they, you know, pack up their bags and go home, and they're through with it. You know, just like only 12% of the total population of people that drink really develop a problem with it, you know, whether it's alcohol abuse or alcoholism. Only 12%. But that 12% affects the 88% of the rest of the population. You know, we used to say early on in research regarding alcohol that an alcoholic affects one to three people. Then we said it affects the family. And finally, research has said, you know, it affects everybody. So 12% have a tremendous negative impact on 88% of the rest of the population. So this thing about understanding the mental aspect of exercise and what it can do, and what it can produce. But like Ray said a couple of weeks ago, the one thing exercise cannot do is improve a bad diet. It's just not designed to do that. So, you know, it can't fix what's broken in regards to how we eat. And therefore, it can't fix what's broken with how we do other drugs. And not all drugs, again, are illegal substances, you know, and some are in that kind of in-between era, right? In that in-between stage where, you know, marijuana, I mean, where government might have issues with it, certain states don't. So, you know, it's a matter of just keeping in mind that people only use drugs because they like the effect it produces. I like what caffeine and coffee does for me. Some people, caffeine and tea is too much for them. Some people can slug down Red Bull. I just seeing somebody drinks it gets my heart cranked up. You know, so cigarettes used to do that to me. They used to increase my heart rate. You know, and I didn't realize that until I stopped. You know, and felt the immediate difference. So it's just, you know, aerobic exercise. You know, it produces the feel good chemicals in the brain. It helps. Not just produce them, it helps, you know, stir them up. Increased energy comes from exercise, which is contraindicated, right? We think, you know, that more exercise, the more tired I am, but it's good tired. Which, again, when we think of it from a mental health perspective, you know, when we're treating the body like that, it starts functioning on all cylinders. And a lot of the themes of substance abuse or other types of mental disorders, you know, are all too often fueled by lack of vigorous movement. You know, we get kind of stagnant or saline almost when we give a lot of our life away to unhealthy behaviors. One of the mental health benefits also is that, well, it increases mental clarity and efficiency. It improves cognitive functioning, especially in middle-aged folks, you know, and up. You know, so it's like the older I get, the more I really would benefit from some type of regimen of regular exercise. You know, maybe I can't, you know, run up and down the court like I used to, but I can maybe walk halfway. You know, whatever, you know, you get what I'm saying. You know, like I still love getting up to the gym and just crank up some jumpers from the corner. You know, the crowd, I just love doing that, man. So, you know, of course, I can't. Well, I'm getting there, though. It's hard for me to get all the way back to the three-point line now. It takes a little concerted effort. So anyway, I just wanted to just tap a little bit on these particulars. Because it really and we can't forget, as far as mental health is concerned, regular exercise helps us improve sex life, you know, which, you know, for some, that's important.
We still chuckle at that, ladies and gentlemen.
And regular exercise and effective exercise reduces tension and worry, you know. So it's, you know, the worry creates, there's two types of stress. There's your stress, that's E-U-R, and there's distress, you know, D-I-S. And your stress is good stress. You know, like good stress is the kind of stress we get when we exercise in a healthy way. You know, so that promotes body function. You know, like Ray talks about, you know, the steady increased heart rate at like 120 beats per minute when you can maintain that for a certain amount of time. That's where, you know, the body really benefits from exercise, which is the continuous effect after the actual event actually stops. So it would take bringing him in to talk more thoroughly about that. I'm a novice in that regard. Decreased tension, you know, reduces certain types of disharmony, you know, with oneself by deeper relaxation and better quality of sleep. You know, that's one of the byproducts that we sometimes just ignore, you know, the quality of sleep. Why is that so important? Well, when we go to sleep, that's where our bodies, you know, that's where our bodies, that's where our minds, that's where our brains go to work. You know, that's where psychic healing happens when we're asleep, when we're out of the way. That's when the body does its repair work from the damage of the day. But what's required of us is to acknowledge whatever our daily stressors are, especially the negative ones, so that when we go to sleep at night, we're not ignoring them. We're cognitively aware of them. So even if we haven't solved all of our issues over the course of the day, just acknowledging that they're there gives our psyches something to do with what we take with us when we enter the night world. Why is that important? Depending, again, on the quality of our health. The next day, chances are the residue of unfinished business may still exist. But because it's been acknowledged and because not repair work that's been done, but what's been done is like stability. Because that stability has happened, we don't wake up with that sudden burst of, oh, hell. You know the oh, hells I'm talking about? When we first wake up and everything is cool, and then in 10 seconds we start remembering this and that and the other. Right. Not what we have to do today, but what we didn't get done yesterday. And that's where the vicious cycle begins. But when we're dealing with our body's functions in a healthy way, then the repair work can be done in a more effective way when we go to sleep at night. As a matter of fact, it's not unusual to wake up like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, with insights that we may not even think are related to whatever our daily frustrations are. But that's exactly what they're related to. And sometimes just writing it down and not trusting it to memory will reveal itself later on during the course of the day or maybe late in the course of the week. The aha, oh, that was that's about. Or, you know, this is what that's about. You know, that's, but again, that's when we're beginning to utilize the body in its maximum capacity. And maximum capacity is all relative to the individual. I'm not 16 anymore, you know, and I don't need to pretend I am. I hate that commercial that says age is just a number. No, age is a hell of a lot more than just a number. You know, as a matter of fact, it keeps me from thinking I am 16. It keeps me from taking on, bruh, man, on a one-on-one, you know, full court game. You know, and like, dude, you ain't ran in 5 years, and now you're gonna start playing a whole court game one-on-one with somebody who's one-third of your age. No, you know, that's another type of brain disorder to think I could even do that. So all of this, in recapping, and all of what we talked about Monday, leads us to, you know, the conversation of meditation. You know, keeping in mind, it's very important to keep in mind that there's nothing we can put in the body that the brain doesn't already produce. You know, even the synthetic drugs have a plant base. You know, nothing can exist without some form of growth from some aspect, even if it's from a lab. Everything has to have atoms, you know, but you can't trust atoms because they make up everything. That's a stupid joke.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so, but, you know, what makes up an atom, right? If atoms make up everything, then what makes up an atom, you know? Does an atom make up itself? Well, you know, that's one of those questions I can't wait to ask God if I'm fortunate enough to have that audience. You know, how did science, you know, did science invent God or did God invent science? Well, scientists taught me something when I asked that question. They said, we don't invent anything. You know, we're on the theoretic search. You know, we have to disprove things before they're accepted. We look for what doesn't work, you know, because that's how we find out what does. So it's like we don't invent anything. So didn't that answer my question? So God invented science, you know, and so, you know, people laugh about it, but there's nothing we do that God's finger's not in it, or whatever one chooses to call their creator. Of course, there are those who say there is no creator. They just sprung out, you know, and anyway. So much for all that. Questions, thoughts, comments, complaints, Will? What do you think? that pretty much wrap up exercise.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue into meditation. And all the times that we've talked about how we prepare ourselves, like for the night, like we've talked about honoring the day, the passing of the day, and all these things that we've talked about in the past. Just listening to you now, but talking about exercise and then talking about sleep, it just kind of hit me like meditation is kind of like the repair process, but you're still awake. You know, like it's not quite the same effectiveness of sleeping.
Man, beautiful. Right. Beautiful, but, man. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's just like, wow, okay. I kind of dig it like that. At least that's my interpretation, you know.
Yeah, man. That's a beautiful way to put it, you know. And really that helps in one form or several other forms, helps maybe somebody better understand what the limitations of certain types of meditations may be, physically in particular. Like many people who like run or work out, you know, like muscle builders, runners in particular, will hit that particular zone where, you know, where the timeline continuum has ceased to matter and they just are locked in that zone.
Yeah.
But that can only last for so long. There's just the physical limitation of how long you can run, you know. How far, that's relative, but how long, sooner or later the body has to stop. You know, but the form of meditation we're talking about that you just described, you know, that is like consciousness sleeping, you know, that lasts for as long as whatever our form of meditation takes on. And even the side effects or the sidebars of it, you know, like periodic meditations, you know, like 5 minutes here or 5 minutes there, you know, it all has its own effective time clock based on the effectiveness we're looking, you know, to seek. And not everybody, I don't know about you, but maybe I should just say me. I'm not about, you know, at 11 o'clock at night to get into a meditative state. I'm not about to bust out of the crib and go running. That's just not what I'm going to do. So maybe, you know, maybe there was a time I might have considered that. I don't recall any time like that. So it's a wonderful thing for me to have a non-intrusive form, a concept of meditation that allows me at any time of the day and night, as long as time allows. And if time doesn't allow, to even take a look at that, why not? You know, that allows me to go into that, you know, non-ordinary state of consciousness, which is pretty much what, you know, meditation's all about. Right on, man. I love that. So you've done, you know, one of the forms of meditation that I'll be talking about tonight. You've done it, you know, the integrative breath work,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you use breathing and evocative music to help promote an inner journey, you know, that lasts for a couple hours a session, right? And I know you've done it because you were there with me.
Yeah.
Well, I was there with you. You know, and it was all spontaneous. It was beautiful. It unfolded, and you were so willing to do it, you know. And so having had that experience and having memory of the experience, is there anything still today that you draw from that experience? Or am I putting you on the spot by asking?
You always put me on the spot, man. This, you know, it's like you chewing in my ear, man. It doesn't even.
I'm sorry,
you know,
about that, man.
But it's our relationship, man. No, it's
Amen.
No problem.
Amen.
Oh, and before I get going here, just want to give a shout out. I see Artie's in the chat room, and she's here with Ken Hester. Awesome. Hello. Thank you both for listening.
My man.
Right on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kenneth Hester, you may not remember him, but he knows you.
I remember the name,
Okay, yeah. As all my friends do from back in the day. He used to have a nickname when we were growing up, like we all did, right? Like Arlene's husband, Richard, you know, he was Radar, you know, J.R. Radar. You know, Kenny was hefty. He probably doesn't appreciate me saying that.
No, but, I was about to say that.
You know, Butch, who was on, you know, not too long ago, his nickname was Bubbles. You know, I have a partner who listens in sometimes, Tyrone. We called him Knobs. He got mugged once, and somebody, you know, whatever they did, they beat him down around his forehead, and he had these big hickeys on his forehead. You know, and kids are cruel, right? So I said, man, those look like Knobs. That became his nickname. So, you know, all the nicknames have a point of origin, though, man. And it was just part of what it was like with us growing up. It's always great to see Arlene. You know, it's great to see you again. Arlene, you've been away for a while.
Yeah.
You know, welcome back.
Yeah.
You know, what she's been, you know,
she's
it wasn't
busy.
Like without. Yeah, she's been busy.
She's been
busy. Yeah.
Very busy.
Yeah. Varnese Costum. Wow. Man, that's from AO. That was from my grandma's school. Varnese, I remember Varnese. Man, this is trippy. You know, yeah, and also from our old high school, Inglewood, man. You know, Inglewood, that was in the heart of Inglewood. You know, everybody always talks about, you know, Inglewood, like, you know, it's a cross between what, the boys in the hood and Watts, you know, or something like that. Well, Inglewood also produced, and Inglewood High School produced a West Point graduate, you know, so, you know, go tell that. Yeah.
Inglewood is love. I enjoy working in Inglewood. I see the beauty, you know. I see the beauty in Inglewood. But thank you again. All right, glad to see you. And thank you for everybody listening. Going back to your question, anything that I still retain from from the workshop
or reflect
that I
on, yeah, right.
Well, the one thing that jumped out at me is I don't even remember how old I was. I just remember that I was the youngest person there.
Yeah.
But, you know, our minds, me and you, you know, our minds can run at so many different speeds at so many different times, and, you know, so many different thoughts and things like that. And I know at that time my creative energy was flowing. I knew what was going on because I knew what you did with the music. So already, even just the anxiety, the anticipation of going into this breath work, the thing that still sticks with me is that through all that, once that music hit and I actually just started breathing, it was just that whole just let go. You know, just let go. And I know a lot of times we hear that let go, like, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's that simple, but I can understand why it's not that simple. Because at the same time where it's easy for me to say, I just let go, and you know that I still have, there's moments when I do get caught up in this situation and I can't let go. I need my pain, you know. I got to use it as a mind, who I am. You know, but reflecting back to the breath work, I'm going to keep this piece with me since you brought this back out of my memory files here. I'm going to put this back up, you know, and so I hold on to this time is just remembering to let go. And I'm thinking about the process when I just let go, you know, thinking about me being the youngest person there, thinking about me being your son, you know, being one of two only black guys there. You know, everybody else is, well, except Dirk, was white, you know. And so all these things, all these thoughts, you know, all these things that was going on. And when that music hit and when it really came down to just really just meditating, it's like you can, you know, have these questions and the answers, but sometimes it's just letting go and just being silent, just being still, and then just kind of go from there. So that's what jumps out. Like I said, that just came out of my memory files, man. So I'm really glad you asked that. I'm putting that in my pocket, you know, putting it in my wallet or something, man, and hold on to it again. But I think that even that, cause I don't think I started studying Tai Chi yet till after, right? That was after I started studying Tai Chi or before?
No, you started studying Tai Chi after.
Right. I think that that also, you know, kind of pushed me to, you know, again, let go and try something. And another form of meditation, you know, Tai Chi, just kind of pushed me to learn and study other techniques of meditation.
And so, by the way, you were 25.
25, okay. Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just for your own memory's sake, too. So it was half your life ago. Yeah.
How did I know you were going to put it that way?
Well, you know, but the benefit of that, the point of, see, this is one of the hidden qualities of meditation, at least in this form that I'm speaking from. You know, the timeline continuum ceases to matter. So all of it is pure thought, you know, not influenced by gravity, you know, or grave thinking for that matter. You know, it's pure energy, pure thought. And which, but before I get more into it, I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to break you from your stride. Go ahead, man.
No, you, that was actually, you had a perfect transition into that. But I, that was just the piece that I wanted to share and, you know, and how it inspired me, I think, really just to, like I said, to look at other forms of meditation and be okay with these things, you know, because we kind of restrict ourselves sometimes. And just that opportunity to let go, to study something new, to try something different even.
Well, there's a lot of fear in letting go.
Yeah.
You know, one of the greater fears is, am I going to let go of something I need? You know,
well,
and
that too.
Well, maybe not so much need, but let go of something I want, you know, because usually wants get in the way of needs. And meditation allows the opportunity to reverse that process, you know. But again, because we are ego-dominated beings, humans are, our egos resist meditation because our egos know that there is no control there. And our egos depend on being able to control us, being able to control our thoughts, being able to control our behaviors. You know, healthy egos produce healthy behaviors. Unhealthy egos produce unhealthy behaviors. Almost everybody who winds up in any kind of rehab program for drug addiction or addictive behaviors have wound up there because of unhealthy decisions by an ego that says, one more drink won't hurt. You know, you drive better when you're high. You know, I rap better when I'm under the influence. I'm more virile. You know, I mean, but a healthy ego, you know, like says, oh boy, you know, you kind of stinky. You need to go wash up. You know, a healthy ego, you know, says, yeah, it's time for me to, you know, tune my body up, whatever. A healthy ego makes healthy decisions, but a healthy ego can, you know, through its own seduction and always for its own purpose of protection, can lead us astray. We can make bad decisions with good intentions, you know, and I'm not talking about addictive behavior. I'm talking about human behavior now. You know, I would venture to say, I don't know, I don't like speaking in absolutes, but I would venture to say that almost everyone has regretted a decision they've made about something. Now, I could be wrong, but I suspect that just about everybody has at one time or another regretted. I'll tell you how it works for me. My ego, right? We always doing this dance, you know, and the shadow, my shadow's always observing the dance that me and my ego would do, especially at a time like now when I'm really trying to get back into a healthy regime of exercise and eating right. So this good old ego of mine, you know, will say, hey, you know, man, you've been really cool for a couple of weeks now. So, you treat yourself to, you know, that hunk of chocolate cake right there, man. It's good.
It's okay.
You deserve it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a healthy indulgence. Yeah, okay. So, you know, not a slice, but, you know, half the cake. You know, then you're going to say, well, you deserve it. No, man, it's all right. You know, so I'll slug it down, right? And that same ego that just gave me permission to do it turns on me and says, now, you know, you shouldn't have done that. And then, you know, so then this whole chain of reaction happens. And for me, you know, my Catholic influence kicks in. So now I go into a place of shame and guilt, right? And, you know, what was supposed to be a happy moment has turned into this, you know, mea culpa. Well, I'm beating myself with a belt or whatever, you know. And this is what happens to so many of us, you know, especially people who struggle with attempts in change. So I just want to just utilize the concept of meditation, you know, to reflect on something that, you know, the seat of all movement, you know, and initiator of all activity, whether passive or active, you know, whether or a combination of the two, is thought. You know, in order for change to happen, if change is what a person is seeking, then thought patterns must change. You know, thought patterns is what influences behavioral reactions. It's not the other way around. You know, our thoughts is what stimulates our behavior, not our behavior stimulating our thoughts. So when we fall into these patterns of non-healthy, addictive behaviors, our thought patterns have to change, because our egos that operate solely on the basis of self-protection are monitoring and saying, it ain't as bad as somebody else, or it ain't as bad as it could be, or it's always, it ain't as bad as, you know. But that's our egos telling ourselves that, well, we're doing the best we can. So if I don't change the thought, I can't change the behavior. And so how does that happen? Well, you know, once the idea has taken root, more than likely an aspect of truth has had to intervene. You know, when suddenly I come to a place of questioning my choices, you know, once I question my thought, that's a portal for truth to seep in. That's why people go into a place of denial. I don't want to hear any truth. You know, I'm not that bad off. I'm good, you know, so don't be bringing that stuff to me. But it's too late. Because once a conversation of truth has happened, all the denial cannot outlast truth. Truth does not have an expiration date. Denial does. Even if it's promoted by death, denial does come to an end. Truth doesn't. So once the process is put in motion, it's something that was said often in AA circles that I used to habitate, so to say. And the saying was, the same person will drink again. You know, so nothing's changed. Why should that? Now, there are times that there's spiritual emergencies or physical emergencies, like a brother driving drunk plows into a light pole, winds up in the emergency room and you know, winds up being attended to. May it come out of that state thinking, maybe my drinking ain't as much under control as I thought. Then maybe I need to cut back some. Yeah, which is an acknowledgement where denial has given way to, you know, an unhappy event, so to say, a challenging event. So the idea of meditation is to understand that's where an opportunity for change can begin to unfold. Meditation is a devotional exercise of contemplation. You know, a devotional exercise of contemplation. Consider this, if you will, that maybe your way that got you here ain't working. You know, that's usually the only time a person will consider change. Consider it, you know, to contemplate on it. Is my way gets me to places I had no intention of winding up? And, you know, that can happen once. Or, you know, we never know which time would be the last time when a person decides, yeah, I need to change this. It could be a series of relationships, right? You know, mm-hmm. It could be a series of health issues, right? It could be a series of jobs, a series of financial struggle. You know, it can be almost any form of an undesired result as a consequence of unhealthy decision making. So meditation, being a devotional exercise of contemplation, can help without intrusion. That's what I think is so beautiful about it. Without external intrusion, without somebody trying to be a expert on you, you know, a developed form of meditation can allow a person to consider, to just consider the behaviors through inventory of their lives, you know, and I think the one thing about meditation that is in itself such a blessing. You can't do it wrong. You can't do meditation wrong. You know, the only question a person has to answer is, this the form of meditation I'm looking for? There's all kind of meditations out there. You know, Tai Chi, you said Tai Chi. I mean, we could just go through the Eastern concepts. And even I think in many ways, even church could be considered a form of meditation. You know, why? Because you have a collective body of people all focused in on a singular idea. Most often the idea that's being, you know, espoused from the pulpit. And collectively, whatever one person is saying is entering all of these different brain channels and stimulating or reestablishing a collective sense of belief. You know, it's a collective sense of belief is what generates such positive energy, more so than not, you know, at church gatherings. So powerful, in fact, that as soon as we step outside of that institution, you know, as soon as we step outside of that structure, as soon as we step outside of that building, it's like we've been released from the trance and we enter the outside world, which we have to do because we have to now function. You know, we have to get back home. We have to go to, we have to do whatever we have to do to make our cognitive machinery take over. So for that time, we're in this collective moment. We're in this trance-like state of similar belief. It doesn't matter whether we agree with what's being said or not. We're in a collective of similar belief. But now I have to re-engage the world. So I step out of the doors and the trance is broken. Just like that. Just like that. I try to retain some of the things, but to retain it, I can't have that initial experience unless I take it into a meditative realm, which means I remove myself from all the physical, mental distractions. Are you tracking me?
I got you.
You know, and so this is the great gift of meditation that I have found, I meaning anybody, that helps me reconnect with the source of that moment of clarity. You know, and moments of clarity is all meditation offers. So I might use prayer as a form of transmitting my needs, my issues, my concerns, and my gratitude, you know, to God or my creator. Meditation is what cleans up the return language. It's what allows things to make sense where my conscious mind might find confusion. Yes, you know, the beauty of meditation is that it's non-judgmental. And anytime I'm in a state of non-judgmentalness, you know, then I don't need my ego, right? You know, when I'm in a place of non-judgment, then my ego ceases to matter. That's why my ego doesn't like it, because it's not in charge. You know, I mean, I'll beat up myself for my behaviors, my thoughts, but that's ego-infused. You know, the spirit is ego-free. It is not about judgment. Ego is all about judgment. Healthy ego make healthy decisions even when it gets negative results. It's like, well, I ain't going to do that again. You know, unhealthy ego says, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do as much next time. You know, I lost track of that conversation I've had with myself, you know, and others. You know, I remember near the end of that other life of mine, I was talking to your Aunt Dorothy. You know, she was just so glad that I had decided to stop drinking. And she looked at me and said, what you doing with a six-pack? And I said, well, you know, beer's not drinking. I said, besides, if I can't handle this six-pack, then I really have a problem. Well, the next day, after 2 six-packs and a half a pint of vodka, you know, I told myself, well, I won't drink that much next time. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, never underestimate the power of denial in any facet. So, and to me, the other gift about looking at including meditation in any form of a person's personal program for healthy well-being. When you include meditation in there, it's so pliable, meaning whatever the structure of components are, like we talk about the eight, you know, with what is it, prayer, meditation, reading, exercise, groups, mentor, nutrition, and writing, right?
Right.
Meditation, mm-hmm. unlike the other seven, meditation is so pliable that it can help all the others. All the others can't do that. They might be able to help one or the other, but meditation can help deepen in all of the other seven. It can help deepen in prayer. It can help deepen in the contemplation of exercise and the benefits of it. It can help with writing. It can help, you know, with considering, you know, and feeling and recognizing, you know, healthy diet, you know, and not just healthy diet by eating right, but how it's affecting the functions of the mind, you know, and how it's therefore, you know, even through exercise, helping to attune me to the value of the breath. Now, breath work, integrative breath work that I talked about and that you experienced is done by using breathing and a particular form of music that is more similar to a guided imagery over an extended period of time, but it's designed as a journey that interacts with the various energy fields of the body, you know, starting with what we would call the root energy field or chakra, just for lack of a better term to use for continuity. You know, there's seven major levels of energy that exist in the human body. I mean, there's thousands of energy fields, but these seven is what corresponds with this form of breathing. And the idea of continuous deep breathing, not hyperventilating, but just a series of deep breathing, not interrupted, cyclic breathing, in and out with no interruption. So you can't do two things at once. So when I'm concentrating on my breathing, it stops me from thinking about anything else. But because I am so ego dominant, I can only do this for so long before my ego will get in the way. Hey, you know, what about your bank account, man? You know, how you gonna deal with that? You know, so I'm taken out of the moment. Then all I got to do is return to the breathing. And eventually, I'll teach my body how to interact with ego influence enough to where I can continue to deep breathe. I can continue to breathe deep enough to oxygenate the blood, which the oxygen, which reaches the brain, produces this non-ordinary state of consciousness. So what happens at this point is that the vibration of the body is now in concert with the frequency of the music. And so each of these levels of energy that I'm hitting in the body through the background of the music is moving the energy through these key places that all too often can produce either an awareness of where I'm struggling with issues or a fear of not knowing how to contend with these issues or a realization that I actually have the power to take on these issues. You know, that's the beauty of this particular form of meditation is that it allows a person to also circumvent any given time that I might hit a blockage and say, oh, no, I'm not ready to look at that. Then it's just a matter of saying, stop. And the psyche responds to such a command, and it just moves us off in another direction to explore other things that may come up. You know, that's what talk therapy cannot access. See, you can't talk anybody into wellness. You can't talk anybody into a deeper realm of concentrated understanding of the themes and the patterns of life that existed long before I entered into the picture. When I came into this physical state of being, that's not where my issues began to develop. My issues were there before I was born. Where did they come from, one may ask? Well, I'm glad you asked that. I was not born of enlightened parents. They had their issues, and their parents and parents' parents have their issues. So whatever the unfinished business has, you know, ancestrally had been for the particular line of ancestry that I entered into, I inherited all that unfinished business. My job is to repair that unfinished business, or wherever I fail to, those who come after me on this ancestral chain will then inherit my unfinished business. That's why I freaked out when you were at that workshop with me and the time came for everybody to break, go to their individual groups. And, of course, you were my son. You couldn't be in my group to do your own work. When I saw you walk out that door and when I saw that group room door close, I thought, oh, shit, I'm one of those parents. You know, and I'm so thankful that you or your facilitators never shared with me whatever you talk about. I don't even want to know. I would only want to know after I'm gone. And I read about it wherever, you know, my celestial remains fall out. So that's pretty much it. You know, I don't want to belabor the point. It's already past eight. I don't want to carry this on into another, you know, marathon session. And so, you know, any comments, man, any reflections, feel free to throw them out there.
I'll let you know that I didn't say anything that people didn't already know about you. That's the best I can, you know, to let you know about that. So you don't have to worry about
it. But that ain't what I was worried about, because that's my story. What I was worried about is, and this is what he did, and this is what I wound up. But that's how I suppose that. I'm just joking about it. But that's the whole point, you know, of psychic repair. You know, we put ourselves in these places that allow us to develop a language that, you know, see, the whole idea of the inner journey, there are no outer experts on the inner journey. You know, so if the inner healer is what we want to access. And I'm one who believes the inner healer is my God consciousness. You know, that's where my truth resides. You know, the truth that my denial tries to circumvent constantly. You know, when I allow myself to enter into the realm of the unconscious, that's where my psyche and my inner healer, my soul, can do their dance. You know, and that's where I can have a deeper and a clearer and a higher understanding of purpose. Otherwise, I'm just a blank slate of, well, I hope I get this right, or I hope I get that right. And I'm one who really believes that black folk, you know, born from slavery here in America, really need to have a form of inner work that will allow us to transcend all of the damage done by having to assume a consciousness of minority, let's say, you know, to have to assume, you know, a status of being lesser than the greater whole, of having to behave and interact in a society that we don't get to dictate social policy, we only react to it. Yeah, I think that the consequences have so, and the denial of, you know, our natural lineage through history and a lack of knowledge of ourselves, I think it's produced this second-class mentality. It's like a slave consciousness that still suggests, you know, that we'll never be equal to the greater whole. We'll always be, you know, like a stepchild. What was it that Ralph Ellison said? You know, I am an invisible man. It is sometimes advantageous to be invisible, although it can be rather wearing on the nerves. And that wearing on the nerves is what shows up in behavior, you know, day in and day out. Our behaviors that are being assessed by others, and it's our play acting, roles we take on, because the assumption is, which we've been taught over the years, seeking that acceptable form of my fuller expression, trying to avoid, well, the consequences of what we see today, of agitating, you know, the dominant force. That dominant force has nothing to do with numbers. It has to do with power, the power to dictate social policy. So anyway, I still went on and on, man. I apologize for that. But there it is. You know, that's my whole spiel on meditation.
Well, very powerful, very powerful. I'm glad that you shared all of this. And to be honest with you, I'm glad that you didn't apologize for that tonight, that you went ahead and laid it down. You know, ladies and gentlemen, my dad always likes to, you know, talk about being a proud dad, you know, my accomplishments, whether it be, you know, in the music music field or the airline industry or just moving from Chicago to Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. But let me, you know, I want to take a moment to acknowledge what he used to do with these guided meditations, with this music. And you heard him talk about it, and we know about music. And, you know, we know that music has these moments that affect us in certain ways because of the vibrations, you know. But this guy, man, he would take the time to put music sets, you know, music mixes, if you will, together, rather to be soundtracks, scores, or other instrumentals and things like that for the purpose and intention, and I'm going to talk about intention again in just a second, but for the intention to touch on these chakras. It's not like he just put this mixtape together, put my favorite songs together, here you go, we're going to play this out, see how it goes.
Yeah, no. That's true. Yeah.
You know, there was the reason for it. I'm gonna have this track because I need these drums to do this. You know, it's going to hit this chakra. And then later on, these strings are going to come in and it's going to hit you right in the throat. You know, and I'm like, what? You know, so this man is an artist. I say was, is an artist when it came to the music and the guided meditation. And I mentioned intention. Yeah, man, it was awesome. It was awesome watching you work, and that's why I stuck up for you that time at the workshop, man. Like you just don't understand.
I'll never forget that. You know? Yeah, right on, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
so you were going to say, yeah, okay.
Intention part, and I just want to say that with other subject matters that we've talked about. Oh, also, ladies and gentlemen, our shows again are saved and recorded, so you can go back and listen to some of the most recent shows where we talked about other points of our personal program. And then when we talked about nutrition, we started out nutrition. And in some of the other subject matters, we talked about intention. And even with meditation, I think it's just that practice of acknowledging or monitoring your breath that already gives that intention instead of trying to think about it. Like we said Monday, how we put so much effort into not doing it, or we think too much, we think too hard about it, and it's just right there. And just that monitoring of the breath already shows the intention, already really changes that thought pattern, man. That thought pattern that you said, that was a big aha, you know.
Yeah.
Changing these thoughts, changing thoughts to change behaviors, you know. So, man, no, awesome, man. Thank you for laying it down with meditation tonight. And we even had a chance to talk about other pieces of meditation, so can I say?
Yeah.
And we had some new listeners tonight too, so I'm in hog heaven, man. I'm feeling great.
Too, man. All right, well, look, let's do this. Let's change this pace a little bit and actually end closer to on time. I was talking to my friend Billy Billups. Yeah, I had this incredible conversation with two people yesterday. Bill White, who wrote the foreword to Dysfunctional by Design, and Billy Billups. I mean, am I having this thing going on right now where I'm attracting Bills? Yeah, it's kind of trippy, man. You know. Anyway, so let's Billy Billups said she had listened a Monday, and she said, "Man, that show went on for an hour and a half. Is that what you guys do? That's long." I said, "Well, no, it was an hour show." She said, "And our show that lasts an hour and a half." I said, "Well, you know, sometimes it'd be like that." Yeah. So
hey,
let's try to release everybody, man.
Well, the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. Well, here we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. And sometimes we go over. So
sometimes
you know,
we do. One thing I want to jump in there with right quick, it may not be a show next week, Monday or Wednesday. So it won't be for sure Wednesday, maybe not Monday, you know, if for no other reason, because you'd be in transition and we're going to have this big wedding celebration going on and things are abuzz right now. So it won't be a Wednesday show and maybe not a Monday show. I'm only saying maybe not. I probably could just go ahead and say no show But I'll be doing it by myself, and I'm always a little challenged by that, you know. So, you know,
it's not that you
but
can't
maybe
do
I,
it, you know.
Yeah. So just know it won't, for folks who are listening, it won't be a Wednesday show next week. It may be a Monday show, but you'll get, you know, you'll get a heads up one way or the other. So
and
don't feel
the,
like. You know,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, don't feel like you tuned into the wrong airspace.
Yeah. And in the meantime, go back and check out some of the other shows and start thinking about your personal program. You know, what components make up your personal personal program for your own, you know, well-being, your own self-improvement, your own program for a healthy well-being. You know?
Yeah, right on. And if there's some way we can do a tape show next week, we'll do that in the place of a live show. I don't know if that can be done.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, okay, because you're the EP and you're the tech guy.
All right. I'm Will.
All righty, man.
That's Bill over there. As always, we hope that everyone be blessed, be safe, and most importantly, be yourself because everybody else is taken.
See you out there, Jay Pastor. All right. We just wanted to do a shout-out right quick. Sorry, Will.
All right, Jay Pastor, and shout out to all the Sexton and Inglewood alumni crew as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and one last thing, man. You know, it wouldn't be fair. You know, I talked about Kenny and his nickname. Mine was Choke. Because I wore real short pants. You know, they were heavy now. You know, so I wore what I got. You know, so they called me Choke because I wore ankle chokers. That's what they were called.
There you
back
go. I never knew
they
that.
They were up
I
by
know.
The ankles. Yeah.
Oh,
my pants.
Man.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Go ahead, man.
Wait till next week when I see you. Oh, it's going down.
All right. It was only fair that I put that out there. Yeah, man. Okay. All right. Well, love you, man.
All right. Love you too, Dad. Good night, everybody. Amen.
Good night, everyone. Amen.
As I lie here on the rooftop in the rain.